Good morning. So growing up in Central Texas, I would often hear a phrase, and I'm sure many of you've heard it before, bless your heart. And if you grew up in Texas or somewhere in the South, then you know that this phrase is not really a compliment. To be honest, it's really a way to insult someone, but in a very polite and gentle way, right? And it usually precedes some sort of derogatory statement like, bless her heart, she's as ugly as a mud fence. Or bless that little guy, he's as dumb as a sack of hammers. After hearing today's gospel lesson, many of us might be thinking to ourselves, bless their hearts. Those people just don't seem to get it, do they? Jesus had just finished performing this incredible miracle by feeding 5,000 hungry people. We heard the lesson last week. And yet the very next day, we are told that some of the same people are hungry again. So what do? They get in a boat. They go across the sea looking for Jesus. And when they finally find him on the other side of the sea, Jesus sees them coming, and of course, he knows what they want. So he calls them out by saying, listen, the only reason you are looking for me is not because you saw signs, but because you are hungry again. And then he tries to warn the crowd against placing stock in perishable food, but instead placing their hope in the food that lasts forever. But the crowd presses on with their agenda by asking, well, what sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and believe you? Can you do what Moses did and make it rain manna down from heaven? And once again, Jesus attempts to redirect the crowd to what really matters by stating, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gave you the true bread from heaven. But they still don't seem to get it. Instead, they say to Jesus, give us this bread always. Bless their hearts. Of course, 2,000 years later, you and I know Jesus wasn't talking about some sort of special, magical bread that lasts forever. But he was talking about placing our faith, our belief, and our trust in him, about entering into a relationship with him, an eternal relationship, one that begins here and now and lasts forever. So Jesus responds to the crowd with those familiar words, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But the crowd is so focused on the bread that they desire that they completely miss out on what Jesus is trying to offer them. Now, I'm willing to bet that many of us, maybe most of us here this morning, have a lot more in common with that crowd in today's gospel lesson than we'd care to admit. I mean, how many times have we become so wrapped up in what we want, in what we desire, that we completely ignore and miss out on what God is trying to give us? How often do we become so focused on our personal agendas that we allow what really matters to simply pass us by? The problem is, we live in a culture, in a society that tells us over and over again that we are the ones who should be in control. Our culture has come to embrace and to live by the Burger King motto. You know it, have it your way. And not only does it say, have it your way, it actually goes on. This is what the full Burger King motto says. You have the right to have what you want exactly when you want it. Because on the menu of life, you are today special. and tomorrow's, and the day after that, and well, you get the drift. Yes, that's right. We may be the king, but you, my friend, you are the almighty ruler. Now, this is a dangerous motto, to say the least, because when we become so wrapped up in what we want, in what we expect, like the crowd in today's gospel, we can miss out on what God desires for us, which is ironically the only thing that will ever satisfy our hungers. St. Augustine once famously said, "God is always trying to give us good things, but our hands are too full to receive them." In other words, our hunger will never be satisfied until we're willing to let go of being right, of being in control, of doing things our way. Bless our hearts. Some of you know that before going into the ordained ministry, I taught public middle school in Waco, Texas for several years. I taught a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade choir. And I learned two really important lessons as I was teaching there. The first lesson was this, and I really believe this: all junior high teachers have a special place in heaven. So I'm covered. Secondly, I learned that the harder a singer tries to control his or her voice, the more that person ends up losing control. I remember to this very day my college voice professor telling me, "Chad, you're trying to do too much with your voice, which is actually creating all kinds of tension around your vocal folds. Relax, let go, get out of the way, and quit trying to produce and control the sound." Ironically, the harder we work to control things in our lives, the more we end up losing control. The harder we try to impress someone in a conversation, the more we come across as pushy or arrogant. The harder we cling to other people, the more apt they are to push us away. Bless our hearts. Instead, as the old saying goes, we're much better off letting go and letting God. But letting go doesn't mean being passive or inactive. It means placing our faith and trust in God and allowing the Holy Spirit to move within us and to work within our lives. There's an old story about a man who falls off a cliff, and the man knows he's going to die, and so at the last minute he throws up his hand and he somehow miraculously catches on to this branch, and he's hanging there for dear life, and he looks up and he says, "Is anyone up there?" And then he hears this voice, "Yes." Well, who are you?" the man asks. "I am God, and I'm going to save you." The man is relieved and he says, "Oh, wonderful. Well, what should I do?" And then God says, "Let go of the branch." And there's a long, long pause. And the man looks up and says, "Is anybody else up there?" Sometimes we say that we trust in God, but then we act as if everything depends upon us, that we must be in control of every single aspect of our lives. Bless our hearts. The good news found in today's gospel is that God desires for us to surrender, to let go of our expectations, remembering that God's ways are always better than our ways. There's a wonderful prayer that I've shared with you before. It's called the Unknown Soldier's Prayer. And this is what it says: "I ask God for strength that I might achieve, I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have praise. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life, but I was given life that I might enjoy all things. In the end, I got nothing that I asked for, but everything, everything that I hoped for. Today, with God's grace, may we relinquish our agendas and place our faith and trust in Christ. May we open up our hands and receive Him today, remembering that He is the only one who can quench our thirst and satisfy our hungers. And when we do, God will bless our hearts. Amen.